Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
好的，师傅。
How are you all today? Everybody good? So let me see. Anybody who is new with us? Marshall Lee T T G E G A E. And Justin Chia, can you all turn on your webcam? Don't know whether they are new or not. Think Justin has joined us before, but Marsha Lee Tier, he don't know. Well, in any case, welcome. So, what shall we do today? Today's topic is on Ulambana. Ask me anything. Ask me anything. Yeah, today's topic is on Ulambana. You all celebrate Ulambana? You all celebrate? Yeah. Last time, was a time where I kind of looked forward when I was a lay person, when I was very young. Because when you stay in the HDB block, right, then they have the dinner. Yeah. And my sisters usually don't like to go. And one of our neighbor was one of the committee members who was doing the planning and organizing for the 中元节. For the dinner celebration. So I think my family didn't know, but I kind of look forward to it because I can go there and eat. And usually I'm one of the youngest one in the table. Then all the elders were, young man, you eat more. Help to finish. Besides that, during this period, if you stay in HDB block, used to, nowadays don't have. Even before COVID-19, I think it's slowly sort of die off. I don't know whether there's still the dinner, but in the past few years, still have. Then you have the auction, right? Then you are like, Gu Zhang ah, the auctioneer, very Hokkien one. Yeah, they will say things like, "This mug from IKEA, drank by Sifu, starting ah, those kind of auction ah. Okay, some of you better check the Facebook in case someone mistaken Sifu is auctioning, then really go and bid." Oh no. So it's not so bad if you're there, because if you're there, you are kind of part of it, you know. Yeah. And then there's a bit of the atmosphere. But if you're not there, then it's quite a din. Yeah. And the kind of sound system they use is very powerful. The whole HDB block, all the blocks you can hear. A whole night. Wow, you basically have no peace. Yeah. And the more traditional one, they will have some opera performance. Then later on, they start to have some sleazy, like, kotai. Sometimes the kotai can be quite sleazy. But is that Ulambana? That's not Ulambana celebration. Chinese actually have another festival called 中元节. Yeah, 中元节. Yeah. And when Buddhism spread to China, a lot of the festives kind of just keep together. Yeah. Until today, eventually, Ulambana is somewhat celebrated in conjunction with 中元节. Yeah, so if you go for one of those dinner, oh, Marcia Lee says, hi, sorry, can't turn on webcam, can't turn on cam as we are outside. Okay, no problem. Yeah. As I still must ask lah, no? Yeah, you all try. Good to have you join us from outside. Yeah, so sometimes the thing about culture is when it's so part and parcel of our life day in day out, then sometimes it's hard to distinguish between one from another. Yeah, and sometimes you just go along with it because everybody is doing it, because your family is doing it, without really knowing why we are doing it. Yeah. So in the Buddhist tradition, we do practice, observe the Ulambana festival. Because of this this account in one of the teaching, one of the sutta, it says that in the Buddha's time, the mother of Venerable Mahamoggallana, after passing away, was born in the lower realms. So Venerable Mahamoggallana used his psychic powers to sort of track her down, and then found that she is actually reborn in the lower realms, and out of compassion and piety towards the mother, try to help the mother. So use the psychic power, manifest food and drinks to offer to the mother, but the mother, being born in the hungry ghost realm, was not able to consume. In fact, any food that is offered to her would very quickly transform into burning coal. Yeah. So at the onset, some of this description seems quite magical and incredible. Yeah. But actually, some of these accounts belies the way the Buddhism look at this world. Yeah. So in the Buddha's teaching, the world is the result of our karma. Yeah. So our body, our environment, and our experience of it, a huge part of it is due to our past karma. But the Buddha also teach us about how our present action, the way we relate to it, can also influence it. Yeah. So in the case of rebirth karma, it's usually very hard to overcome. Yeah. And besides that, in various teachings, it is also highlighted that as powerful as psychic power is, it cannot overcome karmic forces. Yeah. So if you have done something and you're about to experience it, psychic power cannot overcome it. Yeah. So in the Buddha's time, some of the monks and nuns, they experience bad things happening to them, even though it would appear like they having psychic power should be able to overcome it. But when they tried to use psychic power to overcome it, the psychic power cannot manifest. Yeah. So the Buddha described many forces. Karmic force cannot be overcome by psychic forces. Yeah. So that's that. Then what did Venerable Mahamoggallana is supposed to have done? So he went to consult the Buddha. And so the Buddha then advised him on how to help his mother. Yeah, and then the Buddha advised him that at the end of the rains retreat, yeah, during the Katina, where the Buddha, where there's the community of monks, yeah, then you can do an offering. And with that merits, you can help your mother. So that's the gist of the account found in the sutta. Yeah. And that then became the basis for the practice of the Ulambana, yeah, where we actually would perform meritorious deeds do offerings, yeah, invite venerables to do services, and then dedicate to our departed families and wish for them to be reborn in happier realms. Besides this sutta, there's at least another sutta in the Pali Canon where it is described that Venerable Ananda, while entering the city for alms, he saw one of the ghosts at the city gate, yeah, that is in a state of woe. The translation I read described the hungry ghost as hungry shades. Yeah, shade, you know, S-H-A-D-E-S. Yeah. So from what I remember, they are described as hungry shades because if a person can see the hungry ghost, it doesn't look like us where it's like just physical like that. It looks like a shade, like the shadow like that. Yeah. So they can see, cannot see, something like that. Yeah. So, but important thing is that it was in a state of war, yeah, suffering. Oh. So then the Buddha commented, then the Venerable Ananda related this to the Buddha. And the Buddha explained that those who have passed on, sometimes in the translation, it talk about an afterlife, yeah, as though being a ghost is the natural state, yeah, but actually it's not. If you become a ghost, you have been reborn. It's not like, you know, in the Hong Kong movie, yeah, after you die, then the ghosts come out, yeah, and then sometimes the ghosts blur, then walk here, walk there, yeah. Then the priest will come and advise the ghost, you must go to the hits, yeah? Go to hell and report for duty. Yeah, you go there, then get your posting quickly. Yeah? Time is running up. Yeah, do you get your letter? Never get letter. If it's Singapore version, then we will tell them you must go to the Central Manpower Base, CMPB. You never get your posting. You must get a posting, then go there, get the chop. Then after that, go and apply. You got your SingPass, right? Use your SingPass. Singapore directors should write a script, the Singapore version one. Yeah. So sometimes when we watch all these movies, the first time you watch, you know it's a movie. But if you watch it 10 times, then and everybody watch the same thing, and everybody just talk in that way, then you start to believe that that's the case, you know. Yeah, then you start to believe, oh, after you die, you become a ghost. Then you go there, and then like this, yeah. How about Buddhism? Yeah. So in Buddhism, we say that if a person after dying become a ghost, basically the person has taken rebirth. Yeah. That is to say that after dying, you may or may not become a ghost. So get that idea out of your mind. Don't think you die already become a ghost. Yeah, maybe you're not supposed to become a ghost, but your mind is so fixed in that idea, then you compel yourself to become a ghost. Maybe you can be reborn as seven living. Then you feel very uneasy. Hey, not supposed to be like that. Eh? Must go to become ghost first. Then after being a ghost, then get posting. Then jialat. No. Yeah, but usually, if you have very great wholesome deeds, yeah, that is ripening, such as being reborn in heavenly realm or in the hell realm, your thoughts cannot overcome it. For most people, not able to overcome it. Yeah, why? Because heavy karma. Heavy karma. One way to understand this is, how to understand this? How many of you like to eat durian? So if one of your family member buy durian and bring it back home, there's no particular reason why you shouldn't eat it, but, right? So would you stop yourself from eating it? You will just naturally, got durian, you eat. Right? So I want you to think about it. When there's no particular reason for you not to eat, you will just eat. Why? Why do we just eat? Huh? Like what is up? My sis said something but muted, so don't know what she said.
Because we like it.
Because of what?
We like it.
Because we like it, right? You see something, you like it, and it's available to be eaten, nothing to stop you, no reason to stop, then you just eat lor. So we can say that liking is a habit lor. We have habituated this liking. So the moment it presents, we just go and eat. Think about it. Is this form of eating eat to live or live to eat? This form of eating is living to eat, not eating to live. Because if you don't eat the durian, you won't die, what? Correct? So it's driven by our desire, driven by our that kind of impulses. Yeah. So does it mean that you cannot eat durian? No, can. You continue eating lor, yeah, until you go somewhere else. You go ahead and look for me. Later all the self durian one come and look for me. Huh? You are the monk, right? Tell your students cannot eat durian. I never say, huh? But karmic forces ripening. For most people, it's just like a person who likes durian, seeing durian, is compelled to eat durian. Cannot help it. Cannot help it. Just like a smoker, you see someone smoke, you are compelled to smoke. Just like someone who is a frequent drinker of alcohol, you see someone drink, you also have to drink. Cannot help it. Just like a small kid, see the friend play handphone, he must play handphone. Yeah. We can say, I am immature, whatever. Whatever reason, that is the result. When the person is habituated, acts on the habits, circumstances to present, they will act. Yeah. So then, if you think about Buddhist practices, then you realize that Buddhist practices is oftentimes going against our habits. That's why Buddhist practices are so difficult. I always feel like going against ourselves. You know? That's the reason why. It's to train our, in a sense, train our resilience, you know, resistant towards the habits. Yeah. To act not according to our habitual tendency, but to act according to wisdom, to act according to love and compassion. And if you do this often enough, then at some point, this becomes your habit. The moment you see someone suffering, you have compassion. The moment you see someone doing something stupid, instead of getting angry, you have compassion. Yeah. The moment you see someone who is delusional, you have compassion to teach. You have the wisdom to teach. Then it becomes a natural thing. That becomes a natural thing. Yeah. So for Venerable Maha Moggallana, when he saw his mother, he tried to help. Yeah, but it is described that the mother, despite being offered the food, cannot help it, cannot eat. Because to the mother, the moment food is presented, it becomes burning coal. Yeah, becomes burning coal. But even with what we have heard, it may seem quite magical. Yeah. But if you think about it, how many times when we are in a good mood, someone offer us a cup of water, we are very happy. When you are in a bad mood, even when someone bring durian, you don't feel like eating. Normally, you see durian, you want to eat. But maybe you are in a bad mood, or you're angry with someone, and then someone bring durian, try to make peace with you. Then look at durian. Why? So free, ah? No lah, I just happened to go past, then this durian is quite good, ma. But when you are in a bad mood or we are not in good terms with that person, what will happen? Why? Too much money, is it? Buy durian? Huh? Now durian season, man? Trying to poison me, This kind of durian, so much fertilizer. You eat yourself, lah. Right? human beings are very subjective. We are very subjective and biased. Yeah. Even without looking at the Yogacara teaching, we look at our own life, our own experience of this world. We should agree. Even if you are Buddhist or not Buddhist, we should all agree. We live in our own world. 一切为心造. So as a result, in Buddhism, when we say, oh, Ulambana, we do the 超度法会, yeah, to help the sentient being be reborn away from the state of war, it must involve that sentient being changing the mindset. Yeah, because 一切为心造. The hungry ghost realm in the state of suffering is because of that sentient being's mind, that person's connection with the negative karma. If as long as that being, the mind don't change, the person cannot be reborn. Yeah. In Buddhism, there's no such a thing as someone having the supreme magical power, absolute power to just pluck you from a certain state of suffering and just tong, tong, put you somewhere. Cannot. Yeah. That violates causality. Yeah. If it's possible, imagine if now we suspend our wisdom, our understanding of causality, and we just hypothetically thought experiment, imagine if it's possible, then the Buddha don't have to give teachings. Right? The Buddha just use his Buddha power, reach out like in the what journey to the west, right? The Buddha, and then the hand, reach out and then grab you, and then put you in the pure land. Yeah, then everybody just tong put in the pure land, and then, oh, Amitabha. If it's possible, that would have happened. Yeah, but it's not possible. By extension, if any being in this world has the supreme power to just pluck people from where they are of suffering and just it would have happened. don't have to pluck, just snap finger, boom. And that's why if you look at what the Buddha did, the Buddha spent so much time walk on earth. India so hot, no? Walk here, walk there. When teach. Why did he spend all that time teaching? Because it's only through teaching that people's mindset can change. But even that is not 100%. But that creates an avenue, an opportunity for people's mindset to change. And despite it not being a certainty, just being a higher possibility, he's willing to do it. And in many cases, it didn't completely work. Only for some who are ready, it worked for them. For those who are not ready, it just plant the seed. Just give you an impression, bopiana, what to do. Yeah. So, Ulambana. Does it mean that all our family members who have passed away are all now in suffering in hungry ghost realm? No. So then, you know, Singaporeans being very practical, right? If my family members are not a hungry ghost, then why am I doing all this puja? Huh? Maybe they are reborn in pure land already. Then I do for what? Yeah. Or maybe reborn in a family living in Sixth Avenue. I stay in HDB. Then my grandfather now staying in a bigger house. I still dedicate to him. He should dedicate to me. Yeah, Singaporeans, we are very practical, right? So, when we do Ulambana celebration or do the prayers, we can reflect on how since beginningless time, we have been each other's family and friends. Yeah. In the sutta called Matta Sutta, I always cite this sutta. Yeah. So you cannot find any sentient beings who have never been your mother, who have never been your father, your brother or your sister. Yeah. So surely those beings who are currently in the hungry ghost realms, they have been our father and mother in a good way, okay? In a good way, yeah. So good way ma, good way, then you want to help them ma. This is the limit of our compassion, yeah. Bopian, we are unenlightened, yeah. If your friend is nice to you and your friend is suffering, you want to help. If your friend is not so nice to you, then your friend suffering, huh, or be good. We don't want to help. Similarly, if our brother and sister nice to us, then they are in trouble, we want to help them. If they last time they sabo us, then when they get in trouble, 你还有今天? Yeah. Similarly for our parents. There was once many years ago, I posted during, don't know, Mother's Day or Father's Day. So I share about how, you know, we should be grateful, blah, blah, blah. Then, you know, there was one student, he posted on Facebook the comments. Venerable, but there are some parents who are very mean, yeah, who abuse the kids. And I'm like, I'm sure there are, okay? I'm not saying there aren't. But when we celebrate parents, you know, the Mother's Day or Father's Day, unless we are saying that all parents out there are all twisted. Yeah. Otherwise, we are trying to get people whose parents are not like that to have filial piety. Nothing wrong with that one. Correct? But I also highlight during Father's Day, Mother's Day. Most people, they never hear this part. I also highlight something else. Those who are father or mother, don't think that just because you give birth to your kids, then you big deal. I've written, I think, a blog and given talks on this before. You must ask yourself, every time Father's Day, Mother's Day, in Buddhist texts, in all the secular teachings, we always talk about how we have how great father and mother is, and so on and so forth. What does that mean? It means that if you are father and mother, you must live up to that standard of father and mother to make yourself worthy of the love and respect of your child. I kind of come to this idea because when I was a novice monk, we learned the 10 precepts, and then we learned a whole set of a lot of ancillary rules. Yeah. Regarding our deportment, how we carry ourselves, how we relate to the Mahasangha, how we relate to fully ordained monk, and so on. So initially when I saw it, I was like, oh, when a fully ordained monk entered the room, you as a samanera, you must immediately stand up, rise, pay respects, and, you know, ask whether you can be of service. I was like, 什么世界? Because imagine I was just newly ordained for a short while. And then from the corporate world, it's like, what is this? What did I get myself into? But Wu Pian also like that, right? Oh, then, well, must like this, must like that. Wow, a lot of rules. Yeah. Then, but one thing, don't know good or bad. I agree or don't agree, I still learn. Then, I reflect on it. Then eventually, about a year later, I went for higher ordination. And after higher ordination, then after that, we learned about the full monastic code. So then it dawned on me. Because at that point in time, then when you are fully ordained, or the lay, especially when the lay people hear that, oh, you just received higher ordination. Wow, they blah, 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 blah. You see, blah, 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 blah. Oh, then initially, you're a bit like, so chong ruo jing, you know. Yeah. And then I remember the part from the novice teaching. And then it struck me. Because in the novice teaching, besides telling the novice that you have to respect the fully ordained monk in this way and that way, provide service to them in this way and that way, yeah, like the novice, if you are serving as attendant, you must wake up earlier than your teacher, yeah, to serve and to prepare things for him. When the teacher retire, then you can retire. You cannot say, oh, time for me to sleep, I go and sleep first. The sifu have to pack up himself. Cannot. inside, it also talk about why. So it describes all the virtues that a fully ordained monk has, and that's why you must provide service in this way and that way. So when I myself got fully ordained, then I asked myself, am I worthy of all this? That's why in many teachings, I always highlight, when you all pay respect to the monks, it's not that we hard up for it. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I would reflect on whether I possess those wholesome qualities. Yeah. Which part I'm complete, which part I'm still work in progress. I'm incomplete. I must work harder on it. Yeah. And so then by extension, one day when I was reflecting on the virtues of parents or the why we celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, then I thought, in the same bin, it's not a given though that you give birth to the child, then because now you're different title, your father, your mother, then big deal. Yeah. In fact, the Buddha also highlighted it's because the parents cared for the child, brought them to this world, educate them, show them the world, introduce them to this world, and provided so many things. That's why they are worthy of our love, our respect, our filial piety. So, as I always say this every year, Ulambana, our family members who have passed away, how about those who have not passed away? Don't wait until they die, then go and burn this, burn that. Yeah. Spend time with them. No. Take care of them. For those of us where our father or mother or both has passed away, don't think, that's it. You still have uncle, auntie, ma. Until the day all gone, then you touch your heart and you say, I'm now wu yi wu gu. Yeah, really no one to take care of me anymore. No one for me to express my piety towards. But even then, don't worry. Singapore, there are a lot of old folks home. A lot of old folks home. You know what I mean? I'm serious, huh? Don't think, my father, mother, uncle, auntie, all gone already. Gone, old folks home, so many people there, nobody to care for you once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, but nowadays, difficult because of COVID. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's a very meaningful practice. Don't wait until, Ulambana, then go and burn, pray. I mean, yes, please go and do that, but this shouldn't be once a year kind of thing. Right, you can always go to old folks home, and go and express your care for them. Yeah, of course within your own limits. And especially like in some cases, some students tell me, "Hey, but my father like this, my mother like that." My own friend, uni friend, I won't mention who. I know this group of friends for a long time. And one day, when we have all graduated and we have our regular meetup, one day we are chit-chatting, then suddenly one of them, she shared with me that she has not talked to her father. That was when we are in our 20s. So that's 20 over years ago. She shared with me that she has not talked to her father for the past, 18 years. So I come, 18? Then we are only 20-something left. 18 years then? Huh? So I have so much questions, First thing is, you all don't stay together. And then she was like, no, we stay in the same place. Then that I became even more puzzled. How do you not talk to someone that you stay in the same place with? Or then she thought out how, why she don't talk to her father. I won't go into details, And the important thing is, there's no comparison of how your father treat you versus how people's father treat them. Yeah, I realize that when you try to compare, you realize that there's really no comparison. Why? Because maybe that person feel that the father mistreated or is not responsible, why not? But maybe to you it's like it's quite good already, what? Then how? So I'm not gonna come and, because there's no objective way of measuring whether this is good enough. Yeah. What I want to say is there are such cases. I've met before, even in the past, now, and I'm sure in the future I will encounter new students or new friends who are in such a state. Then how? I have had some students, for some reasons, they just don't talk to their mother. But my advice is still, it's your choice. I don't say, remember, what I give is suggestions and advice. I don't say you must. If I say you must, I say you must get enlightened. Right? Why stop at being filial? Yeah, I must well say, you must all ordain tomorrow, huh? Tomorrow 3:35, go and get ordained. Cannot. So I can only advise. My advice to students so far has always been, I'm not saying that they are right. Yeah. I'm saying, if for one more day you don't forgive them, for one more day, you will suffer, not them. Forgiveness is not about them being right. It's precisely because there is a wrong, that's why there's forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about making them right. It's making your life right, writing your life. Because each day we don't forgive someone, each day our life is in a bad state. And meanwhile, maybe the person already forget what the person have done. Especially old people, by the time they are 60 plus, 70, sometimes cannot remember, sometimes selective memory, sometimes act blur, I don't know. Right? For whatever reason, what if the person don't remember or don't bother? Now having coffee at Starbucks because open up already, or in the kopitiam, la kopi, then chit-chat at the fan, king gong. And then talking about eating durian, talking about everything under the world. Those people go KTV. Jialat la. Then meanwhile, we are down here. Down here then. Last time, like this, like that. Then, does it change anything? Doesn't change anything. Yeah. Of course, some people, when they hear me say that, they're like, well, Sifu, you are dismissing what I expect. No. No. If you experience it, you experience it. You suffer. All I'm saying is, you want to suffer one more time. If you want, I won't stop you also. You suffer, I don't suffer. It's your choice, man. I'm quite okay one. So all I can say is, if you happen to be in that state where whether your father or your mother or your grandfather or grandmother not so nice to you, maybe beat you or whatever. I mean, my ama last time, because I once watched TV, I was a small kid, primary school, watch TV at night, watch until what time? Until dun 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 Mari Kita Raya Singa. Watch until that point, I still don't want to sleep. Until dun 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Then the test card come out. I still sit down there. Don't want people want to switch off. No! I want to watch. And I sit this close to the TV. Then sometimes I will switch channel, switch to the other one. The other channel, Maria, da, 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 da. Because last time, different channel, but more or less the same time, 11 plus 12, unless Saturday, then midnight, So I watch until the last very channel. Dun, 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 dun. So, until when do I stop? Until, so, one, don't know the next day or one day, you know what my mama did? I was in the living room playing. Don't play with her. Then suddenly she's, I only know that she's in the kitchen. For quite a long time. Then suddenly, my mama, boy, lie. Go over there. Then
when you're young, everybody is super big, you know. So, Ama, lie. Go ahead. Then she grabbed my arm. Grab. Then scoop one scoop of chili. Today, what happened? She will get reported for child abuse. But I'm so grateful for that mouth of chili, you know. I mean, now, at that point in time, yeah. Maybe that's why I'm so good at eating chili now. But I'm... Maybe some people watching on YouTube or on Facebook be like, poor kid, so badly traumatized, become a monk. But I'm very grateful for the way she handled us, you know. She don't spend time, boy, like this. Yeah. No. Good. You don't listen, right? Good. You just feel the burning sensation, not so nice, not pleasant. For a short while, no long-term trauma one. You know? But you get to learn that. So what if you want to watch big deal? You think you're big deal? You learn your place in the family. You know, similarly, my father and mother, I don't get everything I want. My father, piak, carry you up, take your pick up. I remember there was one time father called me boy lie. I'm very stupid. Anyone call me lie or okay. I remember that one time my mother, my sister, don't go on the mic. I still say give me upside down. So is that child abuse can be seen as child abuse, right? My father, when he hit us, he's not like my mother. My mother got it. And my mother is the civilized, you know, the civilized police. My father is the don't know from where. So my mother, when she disciplined us, she will tell us, go and get a kid. Yeah. Now some of you, when you hear this, it's like, who would be so stupid, go and get a kid, right? But that's how the four of us are. We are so stupid. Mother say, go and get a kid. Okay, or you know you're going to get a kid, but you're still going to get a kid from the mother. Yeah. You know why? Because somehow we know if we don't get a kid, if mother get a kid, lagi jalan. Because now you have two crimes. One is the original crime. Two, resisting arrest. So you better go and get a kid. The moment you say, yatin lai, not bring the kid through, no. It's, and my mom will, usually the usual is, kena once first. Pia! Yeah. Then, do you know why I cane you? Yeah, later I know my mom palo. So my mom will reason with you. Reason, there's many different ways of reasoning. Her way of reasoning is just tell you why you're wrong. Tell you that you're wrong and what happened. Not ask you whether you think you are wrong. I think parents nowadays have this problem. Okay, now kid. And then she will ask you, but sometimes when I was a kid, right, I cannot remember anything. One, no. So nowadays when students tell me, wow, Sifu, your memory very good, I'm like, you have no idea how when I was a kid, I cannot remember anything. Morning, do something stupid. Afternoon, cannot find out. My mother, did you do that? I really don't know. I can't remember. I get the cane. I think I get cane a lot. Yeah. And mainly because I don't like to do Chinese homework. That's why double. When my students say, wow, 师父, you write 繁体字. Wow, your Chinese must be very good. My mother must be like, you all have no idea, man.
So we all have our share of our parents. Hard to compare whether your parents is worse than mine. Oh, so no point comparing. But I'm telling all that not because I hate my parents. I love my parents. And I'm so thankful they did what they did. I'm so thankful they hit me when I need to be hit. I'm so thankful they don't give me chance to sayang me, to like, cannot means cannot. But that doesn't mean that all parents are like that. From my students, I also learned that some parents, cane is C-A-N-E, right? But cane is not cane, it's named cane. Dhamma Sutra. Caning is not caning, it's named caning. So in my mind, caning is you take the cane, pass to your mother, pass to your father, then they cane you. Take out the hand, cane. Like that is called caning. But later I realized that in many of my students, the idea of caning is the mother go crazy, grab anything they can find, and then whack. And then they have to run for their life. They cannot wait until like they feel they say they go into hyperventilation. Can you imagine the kid cannot hit until go for hyperventilation? I don't know whether do you think we went into hyperventilation? For us, never one. Because if you hyperventilate, my mother will say, look, go cow get pop. Then immediately. Immediately, you know how to regulate yourself. Because compare, if I in your mind, you're thinking, if I continue to cry, pain ma, sad ma, I cry ma. But if I continue, then caning continue. But if I regulate my breathing, then I don't get caned. Okay, better don't cry anymore. But not to joke about all your qi sam life. Oh. I know. Yeah. I heard before. You know, the don't know, Hainanese or the Hakka, they say, wa ko bo lu ko, lu ko bo wa ko. Something like that. That means, wo ku bu ko ni ku, ni ku bu ko wo ku. Yeah. So, not to joke about it. I'm not laughing at your misery, okay? I know you all also got your own sob story. But I'm saying, 家家有本难念的经, okay? So if you feel that your parents are not worthy of your love, fine. That's your choice, okay? But you must remember, you don't forgive them, you suffer. Oh, not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just telling you the result. And you should know yourself, for how long you didn't forgive them, for how long you have been suffering, you have been having this grudge. A grudge is like shit, it's like rubbish in your pot of your heart, yeah? Your pot of nice pot, you can grow nice flower, sunflower, can have rose, can have bougainvillea, whatever. This is all the plants I learned in primary school. Hibiscus, all the science class, right? You can choose to put the rubbish inside your mind. Yeah. And then let it corrupt your flower. And then all your flower, your choice. Oh, it's okay one. Sifu okay one. Sifu, then you feel sad, come, I chant ta pei su for you. No problem. But how long can I chant, right? Yeah. Not as though you are staying in a temple and then you every day you just keep on hearing Namo Hanadana Dona Yaya Namo. Right. Then the moment you don't chant, then you suffer. Why? Because your grudge against your parents is there. In the teachings, it does say that if you have this kind of negativity towards your parents, very bad karma. But I won't go into that. I don't even want to go into that. I just want to tell you, anybody watching this video in future, not just your parents, anyone, you don't forgive a person, you're causing suffering to yourself. It's like having a molten lump of metal in your heart burning you consistently. So not saying that they are right. Besides that, then, but they are not worthy of my love. Okay, then don't love them. At least forgive them. Do the next best thing. Cannot love them, cannot be filial, at least forgive them. Then you can be at peace. Then express your love for other elders. Yeah, go to the old folks home. Go and find one that you point out a numb one. Don't go there, then you heng heng shui shui must go and find one point out the law. Then every day go there and abuse them. Why you know why you are here now? Must be when you are young, like my father, no. So bad to the kids. So now you are stuck here, huh? You think you're very chum. You deserve it. Don't do that, please. You want to go old folks home, go and care for them. Don't go and abuse them, please. So ulambana. Yeah. But most people, so don't think ulambana is just about go and do prayers, then people die. Don't wait for people to die. Oh. Because for Venerable Mahamoggallana, when the mother was alive, he tried to get the mother to understand the Dhamma, but the mother don't believe in the teachings and always say horrible things and untrue things about the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Yeah. So she's reborn in the lower realms, not because Buddha punished her, but because of her own unwholesomeness. Then she get reborn in those states. Jialat, I always make this mistake. AMA is not supposed to be me giving a full Dhamma talk. Supposed to give you all more time to give to ask questions. I have this bad habit. Okay, not bad. Today at least 302 Xun Ya Le Ma. These are all the idioms I learned in secondary school. So beyond that, bo liao. Yeah, so Xun Ya Le Ma, yeah, or Le Ma. So now is the section for AMA. Ask me anything about Ulambana. Can be about other things also. You want to learn programming, can also ask. Like Sai Kiang, I think you have prepared a lot of questions, right? Because she's afraid learn chang later.
Good afternoon, Shifu.
Yeah.
It's like what you say, not all our relatives are reborn in the hungry ghost.
Huh?
So sometimes not all our relatives are reborn in the hungry ghost.
Don't hear wrongly. Shifu never say all our relatives are born in the hungry ghost.
Not all. So it's like very contradicting. My auntie will sometimes say, my auntie when sometimes she go and pay respect to the ancestors or to my grandmother and grandparents, then she will say, we are praying, like hoping that they will, you know, get out from the hungry ghost. But on the other hand, we actually doesn't want them to be there. Can't they already be, you know, in Pure Land, in somewhere else?
Yeah, lor.
So how do I explain to her?
Okay, that's a very good question. So first thing to clarify, there's no contradiction in the teachings, but there's a conflict between how your auntie think and the teachings. So if auntie thinks that your relatives are all still hungry ghosts. Yeah. For the most part, I think it's really about Chinese kiasu kiasi. Yeah. In case la, don't know man, huh? Saikyang, huh? Don't know la. In case ma, so we better continue praying. Yeah. A few number of students have asked me before. So how many months, you know, first 100 days, then after that, you know, or 头七, 二七, 三七, 四七, 到七七, first 49 days, yeah. Then after that, 100 days. The 100 days is actually, I don't think there's any basis in the teachings. It's a Chinese custom. Then how about the anniversary? Then some students ask, so how many anniversary must we do? So I told them, I said, you can look at it this way. Instead of looking at it and saying, asking, how long more? ask yourself, if you are doing this out of filial piety, out of love for your father and mother, then you ask yourself, how long more do you want to love them? For as long as you love them, for as long as you care for them, then just do a prayer for them. That's all we need to do. Instead of thinking, hey, we do for 3 years already. But I told some students, if you find that, because on the realistic note, some students have expressed concern that, oh, you know, when they participate in some of this, they feel obliged to fork out a certain amount as a donation or something. And some temples do have stipulated pricing, you know, the pricing category. Yeah, bronze tier, silver, gold, platinum tier. So I told them, another way you can do it is just join the prayer. Don't have to go and donate anything. Yeah, just join the prayers. Yeah, every day go and join, go and pray. Free, that one is free. Then they are like, every day cannot. So what you want to do? So it's not about money, actually. Yeah. If you really want to remember them and wish them well, yeah, you can do prayers anytime. Don't have to be during Ulambana as well. Yeah. Every day we do our morning sit, right? Then when we finish dedication, then I say, till we meet again, you'll be guided and protected by the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And always, okay, then bye-bye. Then after that, you quieten yourself for a while. Then at home with your altar, then you do a sincere dedication. You think about your family, your ancestors, or whoever. Ancestors, sometimes we also don't know how they look like, and you're not directly related in that sense, right? Yeah, like our 老祖公, 老祖嘛, 几只公, wow. Yeah. And I cannot imagine a few generations now, how long the list will be, you know. Yeah, because we never touch wood, if we don't go through a wall, right, then memory will be passed on. You have a wall interrupt, then don't know, the ancestor don't know what happened to them. Yeah. Then how? Then you just try to contemplate and reflect on how, because of their presence, then it resulted in the family being, you know, passed on to generations until your time. Yeah. And out of gratitude, yeah, you wish for them wherever they are, may they find peace, may they be happy, may they enjoy good health, and where possible, may they have the conditions to be in touch with the triple gem. So you can do the extra dedication for them also. The other thing is, when we do prayers for and dedication, it doesn't have to be a dead person also. We can dedicate to people who are living also. We can also dedicate to those who are born in any realms. It doesn't have to be ghost realm. Although in the sutta, it does highlight specifically those in the ghost realm, they can directly benefit. Yeah. Because they are able to rejoice in it and then benefit from it. Yeah. So, for example, like, let's say we dedicate to Sai Kiang. May on this day, may you be happy, may you be cheerful, may you be quiet. Then, can or not? Can ma? Let's see if she laugh already, she smile already. Immediate result. Right? So, doesn't mean it cannot be done. So, even if our ancestors have been reborn in other realms, we can still do prayers and dedicate to them. Don't have to do it with the mindset, oh, yeah, poor thing, you're suffering in the ghost realm. Then don't have to be like that. No? Can? Some people ask. Marcia asked, you mentioned that to be liberated, the being must change themselves. How do prayers to hungry ghosts then help them change their karma if we are only praying for their liberation and not communicating directly to them, person. So this is where the difficulty in language.
Mm-hmm.
So at least as far as the Chinese prayers is concerned, there's usually it usually starts off with the front part, which is the homage to the different enlightened beings. Yeah. So then after that, there's always a part highlighting all the deeds that is wrong. Yeah. Then after that, to make repentance and to make a firm resolve to do the opposite. And then after that, on top of that, there's usually some part that talk about going beyond that. Yeah, going beyond that to do more practices. Yeah, and then to do practices, including up to the Bodhisattva path. So through the recitation, the aim is what? The aim is, there are two folds. There are two folds. One fold is, from what I've learned before, when they do, like say, like Meng San, right? Then they do the contemplation, visualization, and then they help them ease their physical suffering of hunger. So that just solved the problem temporarily. But when that is somewhat solved or resolved, then their mind is calm and they are open to listening to teachings. And so if you were to attend some of the prayers, usually Ulambana, there will be Mong San during this period. Every night, there's Mong San. There will always be one part, the chief monk who is convening the prayers, there will be one part where it's shofar. So, rightly speaking, the shofar means to give teachings, you know, like what I'm doing now, like what any monks or nuns would be doing. Except that when we are doing it, we are explaining directly to you, ma, correct? But in the prayers, it's more ceremonial. And usually the Chinese venerable will be saying it right in a certain tone, like let's say, 三界九地, da 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 da. Yeah, or let me say one verse that I know. Like let's say, 如法华严，三界无安，犹如火灾. So somehow I don't know why, no, I really don't know why. But somehow, whenever it's that part, if you just read the verse, it's actually very meaningful, provided you actually learn teachings. But the venerables will always recite in this very, very melodramatic way. But it has that effect, because you see all the lay people, right? Wow, during that period, wow, their eyes closed, wow, very, wow, like, they feel like when the monks say in that way, 三界无安，犹如火. Wow, then they feel like, wow, like, power. But then the poor monk, gong, sa tiam jing, it's called the gong chue, go power. But whether the teaching has power or not, is whether you change your mindset. So students who actually get in touch with the teaching and their mindset change, then there's power. So the hope is when they do it in a ceremonial way, that beings, whoever, when they come in contact with these prayers and so on, then their mindsets will change. How to change? All the teachings is all about telling what is wholesome, what is unwholesome, what is wholesome, what is unwholesome. Yeah. Does it mean everybody will change? No. Just like in when you are alive, your friend tell you to go and do fishing, some people will agree, some people don't agree. Some friends ask you to go for Dhamma talk, then some people agree, some people don't agree. So it's not a definite, oh, we do this prayer, then confirm they all, how many turn up? 157, all liberated already, confirm. Oh, you know, confirm one. Our powerful one. No. Yeah, it's not like that. No. So we can only help them by sort of creating that wholesome link and then exposing them to the teachings. But whether they connect with the teachings, then, oh, 要看他咯. Of course, if you ask me, I have a very childish mind. So I always think of like, small kid kind of question. Yeah, you all don't have to ask. I ask for you. You know what is my question? I have this question when I was a small kid. My mother teach me how to pray to Quan Sim Pusa. So I must have asked her many times. You know, small kid ask the same question many times because they forget. So I must have asked my mom many times. Right? Then ask, big on me, huh? What must I say? Then my mom say this. Namo Quan Sim Pusa, Pucho Bobby, Tiki Dosui, Ping An Sun Sun, Papa Dota. Standard formula. Everybody say the same thing. Then you know what else I ask her? At that age, I already asked her. So, Quan Sim Pusa, how can we? Until today, I have this kind of funny question in my mind. But most people have this kind of question only when you're kids. When you grow up, this kind of questions disappear. Why? It disappears because you feel shameful to ask. You feel that these are stupid questions, don't ask. Yeah. Whereas I either thick skin or inside one part short. So I continue to have this kind of question. So similarly, I will ask you, I ever thought, no, we do all the prayers in Chinese. Then what if the ghosts don't understand Chinese? Like last time, my Chinese very poor. Then you, San Jie Wan, then the ghost, eh? That word, what is that word? Then the monk every night have ghosts come and ask, hey, that word, I checked dictionary, what is that word? How to write? So I'm serious, I have this kind of questions. So when I was in US, I was in charge of doing the carrying out community actions. So one of the things I was tasked to do was we have to chop off some trees because the trees is having disease. Then the tree would collapse. We don't know when it will collapse. So we have to engage a tree cutter to cut off the tree so that it doesn't collapse and destroy our dormitory. But in the Vinaya, before we cut a tree, we must put up notice and announcement. So my Sis Yang told me, "你去做那个法." So I'm like, I think, then I asked him, hey, maybe I put the notice in English and Chinese, bilingual. Yeah. I don't know Spanish, but so I only put Chinese and English. Then he said, why? I said, because here a monkey. Because my monastery was in US, I said, you know, I'm all ghosts, then maybe don't understand. 那些鬼是洋人的鬼, 他看不懂, 那怎么办? He looked at me like, it's really funny. But he never said, he gave me it's really funny, right? I wasn't trying to be funny, I'm really serious. It's because I take it literally and I'm really serious about it. So I really think about the possibility. Like, correct, what? You are in New Mexico, state of New Mexico in US. They speak Espanola. Yeah. They don't speak, they may not even speak English. Or if I put English, they may roughly, dear residents of this tree. What is that word? Jun Kompong. Or what? Jialat. Yeah, so when I did the notice, I did in English and Chinese. Yeah, then when I go to each of the point to do the mental determination, I do it in English and Mandarin. Just in case they don't understand Mandarin. Yeah, so same thing, I have a question mark. Then we do all the prayers in Chinese. Then how about some of them Hokkien but don't know Mandarin one? They're going, eh, mjai gong si me. Then the ghost wander around, king gong, king gong. But one senior monk from Sri Lanka, he ever explained, he said, when we do prayers, they may not understand directly in terms of our language, but they can feel the mental states. Yeah, that's his explanation. It's just like sometimes you get vibes from people, right? If they are, you know, friendly to you, you can feel the a certain vibes. Yeah, that's the closest I can describe. Maybe that's how it works. Huh? So another person, who is this? The name Li is more. My Chinese is very jialat. Li something. Says, I know this sounds weird, but yeah, if I dream about my deceased father who was supposed to go to Pure Land, bring me out to eat multiple times, what is that supposed to mean? So your deceased father is supposed to go to Pure Land, but the deceased father bring you up to eat multiple times. Oh, so is it a favorite food? once he took me out. So bring you out to eat multiple times, is it in real life or in a dream? In a dream, is it? Then once he took me out to Starbucks to have cake for my birthday. Then another time he took me to have dim sum in the middle of the night and to meet his friends. Then yesterday night he met me after a gathering I had and took me out to eat steamboat. But the restaurant was not open, so we had to find another restaurant. Okay, let me just verify. Is all the outing in real life or in a dream? Because the description is at some point becomes like as though it's in real life. I think this is Li Ying, right? Yeah. So like at first when he passed on, so father passed on already. Wait, but have to verify. Sometimes pass on but bring you in real life. So at first, when he passed on, he would bring the whole family out for outings. But after that, almost every time I dream about him, he would take me out alone to eat. Okay, so I suppose all this is happening in a dream, huh? Because I think Li Ying's screen freeze already. Yeah. What does it mean? When it comes to dreams, I always say that there are many ways to interpret it. Yeah. My recommendation to people is, if it's open to interpretation, then interpret in a way that helps you, you know? Yeah. Don't interpret in a way that makes you feel scared or miserable. Right? What for do that, right? Yeah, so what does it mean? I have two things I can say. Number one, I don't know. Yeah. It's your dream, not my dream. But number two, I can guess. Yeah. My way of guessing is maybe your father, you know, 很疼你, yeah, dotes on you. So, yeah, or maybe in the past never take care of you, so want to take care of you. Or maybe we feel that father never take care of us, so we want the father to take care of us. Yeah. So it can be many different reasons. Yeah. Marcia says, okay, thank you, Sifu. Understand better the meaning and power of ritual now. Haha. I asked the same thing too. Dad told me Buddha omniscient, so can understand all languages. That's what my mother also said. Yeah, Guan Xin Bosa, eh, Long Zong, eh. Li Ying says, I'm Li Ying. You told me to use the name my parents gave me. Yeah. Can. Yeah, so Li Ying. The dreamer, I can only say what I think your dream can mean, because dreams can be due to our own thinking. Yeah, in the Buddhist teaching, dreams can be due to our mental processes, then resulting in dreams. It can also be due to like some external forces, inducing a dream. Yeah, but I haven't reached the point where I know whether yours is former or latter, okay? And as I mentioned earlier, I don't know whether you were still online. The way I look at dreams is, it's up to us how we want to interpret it. And that being the case, I always suggest for people to interpret it in a way that is helpful for themselves and others. So what I said earlier was that one way to look at it is that maybe your father would like to extend more care for you. Another way is maybe you wish your father would care for you more. I don't know. Some people have dreams that have parallel to what is found in the sutta or commentaries. Then we can draw a parallel and perhaps infer certain meaning. Well, this one I don't recall any parallel. How do you feel about the dream? I mean, if you feel comfortable to share, you can type inside.
Actually, the dream is like that one. The dream, actually, I dreamt that me and, I forgot, was it a family member or a family friend? I think it's kind of like to a certain extent, it reflected what I've been experiencing in real life. So it's like, I have this family friend, right? I call her my auntie. So actually, she's the one who introduced me back to Buddhism. So, she has some monastic friends. So when in the dream,